Thank you, Grover, for your kind introduction, and I'm glad to see some of my colleagues and graduate students and postdocs working on the soybean and people working on guy oil like Terry Caulfield being here. Appreciate your presence, and I just want to say a couple of things before I go with my slide presentation. The soybean system, I told you, is a big topic for the soybean breeders. And most of the projects or most of the breeding programs in the country, all the way from Alabama to Minnesota, they have one or two components of the soybean system as their overall improvement program. So although I spend 100% of my time on the soybean system breeding, there are several breeders who have done much more than what I'm doing now, and the others will continue to do the same thing. Okay, with that brief introduction, I would like to repeat the topic which I'm going to deal with, the marker-assisted soybean breeding for resistance to cyst nematode populations. Can you all able to hear me? Good. Okay, thank you. Grover Shannon is one of the best collaborators. I have several collaborators I just want to acknowledge before I move on. My wonderful collaborators are the reason why I still doing the work on soybean cyst nematode. And besides Grover Shannon, Vince Pantalone is here. Brian Dears, Sylvia Ciangio. These are the primary things, primary collaborators who share some of their breeding populations for my selections and further improvement, in addition to the collaborators funded by the United Soybean Board, like Khalid Maxim, David Lightfoot, Andrew Bent from Wisconsin, and once in a while I do call on Henry Wen from University of Missouri to help me out on the soybean cyst nematode project. Okay, just to look at what the soybean cyst nematode is doing to the soybean crop itself. Soybean is a major oilseed crop produced and consumed worldwide. We all know that United States is still the number one producer of the soybean, followed by Brazil, Argentina, and China. And unfortunately, soybean cyst nematode is a pervasive pest on soybean in the USA and other soybean growing countries. Some have reported, like China, they have different races of nematodes and infestation levels are high. Brazilians are also doing considerable amount of work on soybean cyst nematode. Some breeders are still kind of adamant to admit that they have a soybean cyst nematode population in Brazil as well as in Argentina, but it's well known they do have nematode populations. SCN reduces yields by nearly 114 kilograms per hectare in the United States, causing annual losses estimated at $1 billion. That's a huge amount. Okay, if you look at the diagram on one side of my slide, those are the, I hope I can use this one to point out. That is a female soybean cyst nematode, what we call as a cyst. They have broken out of the root system, came out and still stick to the root until they release their eggs. Each one has numerous eggs inside. We counted some of them sometimes just to see whether it makes a sense to figure out how many eggs are there. It's a mind-boggling thing, but anyway, the egg number ranges from 200 to 400 eggs per cyst, depending on which variety we're growing. The first observed in North Carolina, SCN soon spread to all soybean growing states in the United States. There is no soybean field which you cannot find soybean system at all today, whether you're growing as a susceptible variety or a resistant variety, soybean system at all is existing. Consequently, sources of resistance were identified and breeding was initiated. That was done first time in the North Carolina. Okay, the question why the soybean is a pervasive soybean pest. If you look at that information, I know there's a lot of information, I apologize for that one. Approximately 2,800 soybean accessions were screened in North Carolina by I don't know whether he's late or not, but Dr. Brim and Ross. Resistant lines were identified, including the one which is currently used, which is a Peking. Peking was used to develop the first SCN resistant cultivar Picket in 1966, but nematodes soon overcame the resistance. About 3,000 more soybean accessions were screened later, and several resistant soybeans were identified, including PI-88788, that's been done by late Hartwig, Dr. Hartwig and Mr. Epps. Cultivar Fayette was developed by the Northern ES for the Northern USA using PI-88788 as a source of nematode resistance by Dr. Dick Bernard at Illinois. And Dr. Grover Shannon was one of the collaborators on the release of the Fayette cultivar. But nematodes adapted to Fayette and continue to adapt even today to all of its derived cultivars. Soybean accession, PI-437654, was identified with comprehensive resistance in 1985, and cultivar Hartwig was developed, but a synthetic nematode population has adapted to Hartwig, and we published a couple of papers, and it's amazing. PI-437654 has a comprehensive resistance, continue to surprise the breeders by having new QTL at new different locations. A recent paper by Henry Wentz's group indicates PI-437654 indeed has some additional genes which we have not tapped into the breeding program yet. Okay, how can the durable resistance in the resistant cultivars can be improved? We have seen several soybean resistant lines. We cataloged and published the information. They are close to 118. These are all resistant lines, accessions, all the glycine max, not the soja lines, these are. They are 118 together. In spite of the fact that we continue to use one or two sources, Peking, PI-88788, maybe to some extent PI-437654 via Hartwig. The component which I want to stress is if we can adopt the marker-assisted selection, that will be one of the best ways to improve the durable resistance in the soybean cultivars and reduce the burden on the breeders of spending their time in greenhouse screening and other ways of screening. Okay, what's a marker-assisted selection? Marker-assisted selection is a tool that may be more efficient, faster, and more reliable technique for developing resistant cultivars. Breeders can select lines based on alleles of genetic markers linked to nematode resistance genes. The lines with high probability of having resistance genes are easily selected. Reduce the number of lines needing to be bioassayed, which is a labor-intensive and a very slow process. Okay, using these markers and in a marker-assisted selection, we have developed four lines, four populations: JTN-4307, JTN-4408, JTN 5110, JTN 5208, and mostly the markers which I use in my program include SAT-309, SAT-632, SAT-574, and there are also a few others. Okay, this slide indicates that if you are looking at the, which is a yellow line in yellow color, that is the line developed by using a marker-assisted selection, specifically SAT-309 on linkage group G. This is tagged to RAG1 resistance gene. Look at the susceptible lines. The susceptible lines Lee and SX Hutchison follow the band. The band size is different from the resistant lines. For example, PI437654 are Forrest, Peking, and Jack. Forrest and is developed by using Peking, and Hartwig is developed by using Forrest combined with PI437654. PI88788 is a contributor for the development of Jack. But anyway, these markers are quite distinct. It helps you to select, reduce the population size by using a PCR reaction. We also developed a simplified method of marker-assisted selection. It's really simple. Anybody can use it. It's a PCR reaction. So the second marker, which has been published by David Lightfoot and others, including myself, SAT-574 is going to be very useful in marker-assisted selection, specifically if you are using a resistance from either Peking or PI437654. For example, if you look at the bands in Fowler, Anand, as well as 88788, Hartwig and PI437655, the marker is beautifully tagged to resistance gene compared to the susceptible ones, Li-74 or 56-01-T. Okay, this is a new marker which we have identified in a new source of resistance, PI567516C, on a linkage group O, which is a new linkage group as far as the nematode resistance is concerned. We published this in the Journal of Biotechnology. This marker is again very useful in identifying resistant lines for a synthetic nematode population which overcomes the resistance of Hartwig. In other words, Peking and PI437654 are susceptible. That's a difficult thing to do it, I think it's that. Okay, what is the take-home message with this one? Soybean cyst nematode is a major pest in the USA, with annual losses estimated to be nearly 1 billion to growers. Resistant cultivars reduce yield losses, but over time, nematodes eventually adapt to resistance, and thus breeding is always a great challenge to the breeders. Marker-assisted selection, at least, is an efficient tool for faster and more reliable method of breeding for nematode resistance. I just want to acknowledge the funding sources, which is the United Soybean Board and the Tennessee Soybean Promotion Board, and my technician, Lisa Fritz, for preparing these slides. And I want to thank you all for listening to this talk.
If you have a question for Pastor, we need to move on. One quick question.
Real quick. What the issue of patenting from IOBA, that's at 309 and where things stand right now?
As long as you are using it for developing germplasm, it's okay, but they still need to give you okay letter. But if you want to develop the cultivar, you have to negotiate with them what will be the royalty fee. That's where it stands right now.